Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville. FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Burson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 27, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone who's listening on radio and internet to please stay tuned after my program is off the air, because I'm coming right back on with an anointed prayer for America, and I ask you to join me. I also ask that every Christian in America join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray for the re-election of President Trump and for the America to be delivered from the socialist, communist, Marxist political system of the Antichrist, for Jesus to be the Lord of America and the Bible the book. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I'm in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Burson's Produce Place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 17, verse 27. We left off last time with the great apostle Paul preaching in Athens, Greece, to the philosophers and poets of that day. He had found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. Paul says, he's not unknown to me. I know him. And he said, God made heaven and earth and created everybody and made everybody a body to live in out of clay. And he made some red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And it was beautiful. And then he's going to tell us why God made everybody in a clay pot.
27. That they should seek the Lord, and if happily they might feel after him and find him.
In other words, your spirit was put into your clay pot body, the beautiful red, yellow, brown, black, or white, so that you could seek the Lord. The Bible says if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. I sought him with all my heart. I found him. Amen. I found him whom my soul loveth, and I will not let him go.
Amen.
Though he be not far from every one of us.
God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He is closer to you than hands are breathing.
28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Now, the Athens philosophers loved poetry and art, so he uses that psychology. Your poet said that we're the offspring of God. The word offspring there in the Greek means kind. Well, it says we are like God's kind. Well, how is God? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you are a spirit, but you're in your clay pot. Red, yellow, brown, black, or white. It's beautiful, but you're a spirit. So see, we're after God's kind.
29. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is of gold or silver or stone.
You don't need to make a statue and call that God.
Graven by art or man's device.
Even though you're a great artist, that's not God.
30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at.
Now, Paul says there was a time that God said, I realize you don't know me, but wait just a minute. Now, God's not going to wink at it anymore. Why?
But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
In other words, why must we repent? That means confess our sins and turn from our sins and quit our wicked ways, because God now has sent his only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who's paid our sin debt. And God's not going to wink at your sins anymore. Everybody who's heard that Jesus died for your sins, God's not patient with you anymore unless you repent right now.
Amen. 31. For he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness.
For everybody is going to be judged, the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ, for everything about your life in your clay pot.
By that man whom he hath ordained.
That would be Jesus.
Whereby he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
So Paul says God raised Jesus from the dead. And if you confess your sins and repent and endure to the end, you also will arise from the dead.
Amen.
32. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter.
Anytime you tell the story of Jesus, some people are going to believe and some people are not going to believe. Just keep telling the story.
33. So Paul departed from among them. 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him who believed, among whom was Dalmatius and Aphrodite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them.
The woman who followed him there, Damaris, her name means heifer. That's a female cow, not a bull, okay, a heifer. Now, in the minor prophets, God often calls his body of Christ a heifer. Men, women, boys, and girls. That's because Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. Now, we already learned that there are 12 tribes of Israel. The house of Judah is elsewhere. We love them. But the house of Israel, the larger bulk, came to the United States of America. All right, God calls his people a heifer. Look at a map of the United States. It's just like a heifer. Does God have a sense of humor?
Acts chapter 18, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. The vow and the anointing. The vow of the Nazarite and the anointing of Elijah.
Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth.
All right, Corinth. Remember, he had 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He founded a church there.
Verse 2. And he found a certain Eudas named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla.
All right, he finds a really great Christian named Aquila. His name means eagle, and his wife named Priscilla, and her name means angel.
Because that Claudius had demanded that all Eudas depart from Rome.
The word Jews is a mistranslation. It should be Judah. Claudius Caesar had said, all of you Eudas, you got to leave Rome. So now at Corinth, we've got a great man and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla.
And came unto them.
Paul went to them.
3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers.
Now, the Bible says that he that keeps the fig tree shall eat of the fig tree. And the Bible says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And the Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. All of that means that whoever is preaching God's word is supposed to be taken care of so they can give their time for that. However, Paul said, I'm not going to do that. Now, people would give, but he would always take the money and use it for God's word. He never passed a basket. He was a tent maker, so he made tents. And I said the same thing. I've always done the same thing, and I feel good about it. Any money that ever comes to me for the work I do, I make sure it goes to God's work. But I've always worked and paid my way.
Amen.
4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Yehudis and the Greeks.
All right, he preached to the house of Israel and to the Gentiles.
5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia.
Oh, good. Silas and Timothy are going to join him. Remember, they were with him. Now they're going to join together with him.
Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Yehudis.
Okay. Now this would be Judah, but this is not our beloved brother Judah. These are those who say they're Judah, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil, exopatio, the devil beguiled Eve, holy seduced her.
That Jesus was the Christ.
But Paul is saying Jesus is the Messiah.
6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads.
They rejected Jesus. So Paul said, your blood be upon your own heads. Why did Paul say that? Because Paul was a scholar of the Torah, the Old Testament. He knew that in Ezekiel that God says, Christian, I mean, he wasn't calling them Christian, they were all of God's children. Everybody you meet is your mission field. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet, you are supposed to tell them that Jesus died for them and try to get them saved. If they do not accept the Lord, God says, don't worry, I will count it okay. But if you, Christian, do not tell everybody you meet that Jesus died for them and try to get them saved, their blood's on your hand. Whoa, that's in Ezekiel. So, you see, so Paul said, I told you, so I'll shake the dust off my feet.
Amen.
I am clean.
I'm clean.
From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles.
The Bible tells us not to throw our pearls before swine. That's a hard thing to do because you want to come back over and over and over and try to get that person saved. I come back over and over and tell people you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to grow in the Word. You need to witness. But I'm learning my lesson too. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Pray for them and move on and go and tell the next person.
Amen.
7. And he departed hence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue.
The Holy Spirit was leading Paul. He goes and stays with a Christian man named Justus, and they're right beside the synagogue. Well, of course, Paul goes in there and tells the story of Jesus.
8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house.
Look at that. The leader of the synagogue, the priest, got saved. Isn't it nice when your preacher gets saved?
Yeah.
And many of the Corinthians hearing believed.
And many of the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians.
And were baptized.
Now, they were baptized. Now, in Acts, we have learned that one time, once you get saved, the very next act is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's what that means. The next, then, we're baptized with water. See, we've lost that in the church. We just think, get saved to be baptized with water. No, you've missed one. Why must you be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, flip it over. You're not saved. But once you're saved, let the Holy Spirit baptize you and then be baptized with water. That is a confession to everyone that you believe that Jesus died, you go under the water, and he arose from the dead, you come up.
Amen.
9. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision.
Paul had a wonderful gift from God. It's called dreams and visions. Joseph had it. Daniel had it. This humble servant has it. We don't do it to write books and get you to buy our books about, wow, look what God told me. You always use it really as a secret. God will tell you to pray for someone. He'll tell you what's going on in America or in another place in the world. So you use this gift, and it's a beautiful gift, but you never do it to make money.
But speak and hold not thy peace.
Jesus says, don't you be afraid, fear not. open your mouth and keep teaching the word of God.
10. For I am with thee.
I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said that to Paul. He says that to you.
And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.
Paul, I've got a lot of Holy Spirit-filled prayer warriors covering your back. The greatest work next to the word is that you be an intercessory prayer and cover the back of those who are on the front line in battle for the Lord.
Yep.
What a ministry.
Amen.
11. And he continued there a year and 6 months.
Many scholars feel that he wrote some of his epistles there. Now, a lot of Paul's epistles he wrote, he was in prison. Maybe he wrote 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and perhaps the book of Hebrews. Yes, Paul wrote Hebrews.
Teaching the word of God.
The word of God, not somebody's book, not a book he wrote, not a story about Aunt Edna. Nope, the word of God. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line.
Among them. 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Euodus made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat.
Okay, the Euodus, who were not our real brother Judah, arrested Paul and brought him to the pavement, the judgment seat, you might say to the courthouse. And Gallio was there, and Gallio could have taken off Paul's head.
13. Saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God, contrary to the law.
They said, no, we're supposed to worship Caesar. Paul says, worship God.
14. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth.
Well, Jesus told Paul to speak, so Paul was about to speak the word of God.
Gallio said unto the Euodus, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness of the Euodus, reason more that I should hear with you.
Okay, if this man had committed some great crime or something like that, I'd pay attention.
15. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters.
Gallio and all the Roman leaders there thought that the Hebrews' religion was superstitious. I'll have nothing to do with that, he says.
16. And drave them from the judgment seat.
Look at that. Gallio could have killed Paul. Instead, he drove Paul's enemies away. The Bible says God is an enemy to your enemy. Mm-hmm. Hear me, America. God is an enemy to the socialists, communists, and Marxists coming to destroy our country with riots and burning and making us slaves. And so, let's all say, drive them out, Lord, drive them out.
Drive them out, Lord, drive them out.
Drive them out, Lord, drive them out. Drive them out, Lord, drive them out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
17. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat.
Well, they had to hurt somebody. Poor old Sosthenes, the wrong place at the right time. That's just really guilty by association.
And Gallio cared for none of those things. 18. After this, Paul tarried there yet a good while.
Now, Paul stays there at Corinth a little while longer.
And then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila.
Now he takes Aquila and Priscilla, Mr. and Mrs. Aquila.
Having shorn his head in Cenchrea.
Now, he had shorn his head, he had shaved his head, and we're going to find out why.
For he had a vow.
He had taken the vow of the Nazarite. They would shave their heads and pull their beards. Now, Paul had this vow. What is the vow of a Nazarite? It is to seek to love the Lord in a better way. To seek the Lord in a better way and to love the Lord in a better way. More love to thee, O Christ. Now, Paul thought it worthwhile to take that vow. So it's a good thing to make vows to the Lord. What does it do for you? It's a discipline. The Bible says, judge yourself and you will not have to be judged. You discipline yourself. See, you are responsible to love the Lord more. You are responsible to grow. You are responsible to seek God with all your heart. Now, I want to caution you that Deuteronomy 23 and Ecclesiastes 5 says, God doesn't make you make a vow, but if you make a vow to God, keep it. If you do not keep it, God will require it of you. Okay? Now, let's say that you're going to make a vow to the Lord because you want to love Him more, you want to seek Him more. Now, if you decide to make a vow, don't make it because you ought to. Make it because you want to. I'm going to give you some examples of vows. You ought to keep all of these vows, but I want you to keep them only because you want to. But I'm going to tell you, you ought to. How about saying you make a vow to God that you're going to spend more time quietly before Him, loving Him, adoring Him, telling Him how great He is, and listening to Him, not doing all the talking, soaking in His presence. Now, don't do it because you ought to, but you ought to. Now, maybe you're going to make a vow to become an intercessory prayer. It is one of the most beautiful ministries. You do it, nobody knows it. Maybe you're going to spend time every day interceding for other people, interceding for the church in America, interceding for America. What a beautiful, beautiful ministry. God sees in secret and rewards you openly. And it's such a beautiful thing to do. You ought to do it, but don't do it till you ought to. Do it because you want to. Maybe you're going to make a vow to read your Bible every day. Now, you'll say, Sherry, doesn't every Christian read their Bible every day? I'm sorry, I was shocked to find out they don't. But you say you love Jesus. If you don't read your Bible every day, you don't love Jesus. The Bible is Jesus' love letter to you. If you're in love and the object of your love writes you a love letter, you would read it, and you would read it over and over and over again. You ought to, but don't do it because you ought to. Now, maybe you're going to make a vow to go to church every time the door opens, but you say, I go on Sunday, but I don't go on Wednesday. I go on Wednesday, but I don't go on Sunday. Now, you ought to go both. Here is why. If it's a real church and you're doing it right, we're doing it right here. Sunday is awesome. Half of the loaf of the Word of God. Wow.
Amen. Yeah.
But the other half is on Wednesday. If you come on Sunday, you're only half filled. If you come only on Wednesday, you're only half filled. A little dab won't do it. You need the whole loaf of bread. Of course, you ought to come on Sunday and Wednesday, any other time the church is open. But don't do it because you ought to, but you ought to. Now, maybe you're going to make a vow to show the love of Jesus Christ to people who are alone in the world. I used to go to nursing homes all the time, many years of my life, sit beside them, love them, pray for them, bring them some candy. Or what about someone who's shut in? Do you know what it's like to be shut in and never get to go outside? You just stay there day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Just think, you could show the love of Jesus. Just take them in a car and drive them around the block. Boy, that would be make their day. You're going to do that. You ought to, but don't do it because you ought to. Only do it because you want to. Maybe you're going to make a vow to witness more, to try to win souls to Jesus. Witnesses are not saying, God loves you. I love you. I'm praying for you. No, no, no. Witnesses saying, may I talk to you about your eternal soul? May I tell you that God sent His Son and died for you? Are you saved? May I pray for you? Where will you spend eternity? There was a preacher had a vow to witness to someone every day. And one day it had been raining, and he hadn't gotten to witness to anyone. It was getting dark, and he lived in the city. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm going to break my vow. And he said, please let me go out the door. Let somebody walk on the sidewalk so I can witness to them. Along came a hobo. And he witnessed to him, and he won him to Jesus. You are to be ministers of reconciliation. You're to go and tell. You are to preach the gospel to everybody you meet. Now, all of these are things you should do. Don't do it because you ought to. But once you make that vow, keep that vow. Now, what is the benefit of you making a vow to God and keeping it? Psalm chapter 50. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows. Do what you told God you was going to do. Now listen, God says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Amen. Look at that. Make a vow, keep it, in the day of trouble, call upon God, he'll deliver you, and that brings glory to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The vow of the Nazarite, to seek the Lord in a better way, to love the Lord in a better way.
19, and he came to Ephesus.
Ephesus, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, church there.
And left them there.
Now, he says, Aquila and Priscilla, you go over here to your little lodging place, and I'm going to move over here a moment, but they're all there at Ephesus.
But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Eudas. 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he considered not. 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast.
Now, what the vow of the Nazarite had asked them to do was to keep the feast of Pentecost to go back to Jerusalem. It wasn't like food, but to feast on God's word. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down on the church. They are feasts in God's word that bring him great joy. They are for Christians. One is the feast of Passover, and we do that here in Trumpet of Truth. It's when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people call it Easter. No, that's the goddess of fertility. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. So we keep the feast of Passover. Now, 50 days after that is the feast of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit comes. So that was what Paul was going to keep. Then there's the feast of trumpets, and that begins on October 2nd. That is a call to the nation of Israel, to God's people, and we are to have revelation and to speak of the word, hear the word of redemption. Now that's the trumpet of the feast of the trumpets. And then there's the feast of tabernacles. This is on October 22nd, and this is harvest time when the Lord comes to dwell with us. When Jesus comes, he's going to harvest. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares.
Amen.
In Jerusalem. But I will return unto you if God will.
Paul says, but I'm going to come back, my beloved brethren, if God will let me.
And he sailed from Ephesus. 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and saluted the church.
All right, Paul goes up to Jerusalem. That's Peter and John, all the apostles, and they have the Feast of Pentecost.
He went down to Antioch.
Now he goes to Antioch, where we'll first call Christians.
23. And after he spent some time there, he departed. I went over all the country of Galatia.
Church founded. Paul's epistle to the Galatians.
And Phrygia. In order and strengthening all the disciples.
You notice he said in order. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let all things be done decently and in order. In other words, everything about a church service, we have it here, there's perfect order. I don't order it. I listen to Holy Spirit, and he directs, he selects every song, every prayer, every testimony, and every word. And yet we're not boring. We shout, oh, Elijah, you know, we shout, we clap, but everything must be done decently and orderly. God is not the author of confusion. Anything in your life is supposed to be done decently and in order. Your checkbook's supposed to be in order. Your work is supposed to be in order. Your family, your prayer, your closet, your flooring, everything is supposed to be in order. Anything that's out of order, the devil is working there, so that all things be done decently and in order. And that is God's plan.
24. And a certain Eudas named Apollos.
Okay, now we've got a real brother, Judah. His name is Apollos. He loves God.
Born in Alexandria, an eloquent man.
An eloquent man. Apollos had been gifted by God to have a gift of speaking. When he spoke, he did not swallow his words. He did not say, dearly beloved. He kept his speech at the mask of his face, and he put all of his T's on his words and all of his D's on his word. He did not whisper because he had something to say. When you've got something to say, for heaven's sakes, get it out there so people can hear it. So he had the gift of speech. By the way, I used to teach speech, so I'm strong on this.
And mighty in the scriptures.
He knew the Torah. He knew the entire Old Testament.
Came to Ephesus. 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord.
Now remember, Aquila and Priscilla are there, but Paul is gone.
Fervent in the spirit.
He loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord.
He said the Messiah is going to come and going to pay our sin debt.
Knowing only the baptism of John.
Oh, he'd only gotten that far. He only knew the baptism of John. Now, we know that Malachi chapter 4 says, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet, who will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, Apollos knew that, and he knew that Elijah the prophet had not died, but had been taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. But he also saw in John the Baptist the spirit of Elijah. Remember that Jesus says, if you can receive this, John the Baptist is Elijah. John the Baptist had the anointing of Elijah. The anointing of Elijah always tells you of two fathers. They tell you about those who say they are beloved brother Judah, but are not the synagogue of Satan, the Kenites, the descendants of Cain, when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden and bore Cain. This is what the anointing of Elijah tells you. John the Baptist's first sermon was, repent, ye generation of vipers. Generation in the Greek means you children of the serpent. That was not a snake in the garden. That's a figure of speech. That was that old devil Lucifer who beguiled Eve. So John the Baptist had the anointing of Elijah, and Apollos says, wait a minute, this man has the anointing of Elijah. Now, soon and very soon, you're going to be aware of two voices. They could be speaking now. They're going to be more, you'll hear more prominent about 10 days before the actual Antichrist appears. They are the two witnesses of Zechariah and the two witnesses of Revelation 11. And they're going to have the anointing of Elijah. They're going to tell you there are two fathers. There's God our Father, and there's that old devil who beguiled Eve in the garden. And do you understand those descendants of Cain, the Kenites, are the socialists, Marxists, and communists in our country right now? Yes. The anointing of Elijah.
Amen.
26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Aquila heard him. They said, this man loves God. But they realized he didn't know that the Messiah Jesus had come.
They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
They explained to him that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life.
Amen.
27. And when he was deposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him.
Now, the apostles would say, receive Apollo there. He's a real man of God. He's got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he knows the word of God. He believes in Jesus.
Who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace.
He had been saved by grace, and they had been saved by grace. And he knew the scriptures. He could tell them, Genesis 3:15, God said to the serpent, "You shall bruise his heel," meaning the devil's children, the Kenites, would bruise the heel of Jesus on the cross. But Paula could also say in Genesis 3:15, "But her seed, the seed of Mary, shall bruise your head." Jesus crushed the viper's head. Amen. Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. So Apollos knew this, and he can explain it now, that he saw that all of that Old Testament was prophesying Jesus.
28, "For he bodily convinced the Eudas, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ."
Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The vow and the anointing. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
We'll begin right there next time, but at this time I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What a lesson tonight. What an awesome word tonight.
Thank you. It was a great one.
It was.
We give God the glory.
Amen.
Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
"And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Malachi 4:6.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great stuff. Great Scott. Great Scott. That's great Scott stuff. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but first, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved and not sure, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart, and the Lord will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you who prayed that prayer out in cyberspace, in a little while, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Say your name clearly, and I'll be praying for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. The laser beams of Jesus Christ going into those who have a broken heart, because a broken heart drieth up the bones and makes you sick. Someone you are grieving because you just lost a loved one. Please, Lord, send the comforter and bind up this broken heart. Wipe the tears away and know your loved one is with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, Son of Righteousness, pour in the oil and wine, wipe the tears away, and bring the peace that passes understanding. Bind up that broken heart. Oh, hallelujah. Make the heart merry. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For those of you who receive that, you might like to call and tell me that also. Nothing is given to you to keep. You are supposed to be telling people about Jesus. You are minister of reconciliation if you're saved. So go and tell, that their blood be not on your hand. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I love you for loving the God I love. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
of Truth. God bless
you.
This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America. Let there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that if there are any more traitors around him trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political political system of the Antichrist and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. Let that all of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devil for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask you that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always, and I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask a thing. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth.
Heart's home for God the very best you. In contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
shall sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Jesus.
God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything.